So full disclosure this morning, my message is going to be based on a chapter from a book I read called The Way of the Lord, and the chapter is called The Way of the Wilderness. This book is written by a guy named Tom Wright, or N.T. Wright, and so some of what you're going to hear today is actually his thoughts, and are his thoughts, and not my thoughts. Our scripture lesson for today comes from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. It's the story of Jesus' temptation in the desert, in the wilderness, as we like to call it. Let me give you a little bit of background. Jesus has just been baptized. The Spirit's opened up and said, the heavens opened up. The Spirit said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And then it says the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness where he was there for 40 days fasting and praying. So rather than read to you the scripture, I want you to see it on the big screen. Now let me give you a warning. In the very beginning of the video and the very end of the video, there's a snake. Now if you're like my wife, she can't even stand seeing a snake and it freaks her out. So if you don't like snakes and you don't like to see them, I'd wait about 30 seconds before you watch the beginning of the video and you should be okay, and then at the very end, you should be all right as well. So this is the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness.
If you are the Son of God, command that this stone becomes bread.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
If God loves you, throw yourself down. His angels will lift you up in their hands.
How dare you put God to the test?
If you will bow down, worship me, I will give you the whole world.
Crucify him!
The wilderness is where the rubber meets the road. The wilderness is often seen as an image for the darker side of our spiritual journey. So someone may come to faith and they begin their journey with Jesus, and they discover the joy of serving and loving the Lord and walking with the Lord. They find purpose and meaning in their life, and then suddenly, without warning, they feel as if they are in the barren wilderness. Now, in the Bible, the wilderness comes in many different images. A lot of people tend to see the wilderness as a desert. And yes, the wilderness can be the desert, but it can also be a place of rugged landscape, rocky landscape, a place of limited rainfall. The wilderness can be a place of hidden gullies, rugged rocks, and land scorched by the summer sun. For many people, when they feel like their soul is in the wilderness, this is what it feels like. Everything has gone dry. Doesn't feel like there's life anywhere. Reading the Bible is boring. Praying has no purpose anymore. Going to Sunday morning church feels stale. The presence of God is absent. The joy of knowing Jesus is gone. And that wild, untamable Holy Spirit is suddenly just a flickering flame. The wilderness is where the rubber meets the road. It's a place of trial. It's a place of temptation. It's a place of testing. It's a place where we discover what we are made of. Will we be obedient to the truth that we know, or will we surrender to the doubts that surround us? It's where the rubber meets the road. I have found that when people experience the wilderness, usually their first response is to blame God. And there are a lot of times many reasons we go into the wilderness, and they have absolutely nothing to do with God. We simply might be tired. Elijah the prophet, when he ran from Queen Jezebel, he went into the wilderness. He became so depressed, he asked God to end his life. And you know what God said? Elijah, I want you to get something to drink. I want you to get some food in your belly. I want you to get some rest. Elijah's soul could not be restored until his body was restored. Sometimes we wander into the wilderness all by ourselves. We work too much, we eat too much, we don't eat, or we don't get enough rest. And then when our body is screaming at us to slow down and we don't, and our body shuts down on its own, then we start blaming God that we're in the wilderness, when in reality we took ourselves there in the first place. On other occasions, the wilderness is the result of a medical condition. I went to school with this guy who had a serious chemical imbalance, which often led him into a deep depression. One day he would be flying high. God was good, life was great, everything was wonderful. And then the next day he would crash, and God had left him, God had abandoned him, everything was awful. He couldn't see the good in himself, he couldn't see the good in anyone else. And then the next day he'd be right back up again, everything is wonderful, God is great, God is good. And I'm not picking on him, I'm not dismissing his condition, because depression is a real issue for many people. I'm simply pointing out that sometimes the wilderness is the result of a medical condition. So going into the wilderness can be a medical condition, it can be because we are simply not taking care of ourselves, and it can be the result of us being tired and exhausted. But sometimes the Spirit does lead us into the wilderness, just as he led Jesus into the wilderness. The wilderness is a place where crucial choices are made. We decide what we are made of. The wilderness is a place of trial. It's a place of testing, and it's a place of temptation. Temptations are often hard to recognize because they come disguised as good things, things that God would want for us. But the problem is we often do things that God wants us to do, but we do them in our time and in our way. That's what happened to Jesus. The devil comes to him and says, Jesus, you need to eat, don't you? You got to be strong to do what God wants you to do. So take these stones and turn them into bread. Jesus, you trust God, don't you? You believe God is good. You believe God is loving. You believe God is faithful. You believe that God will always be there for you. If that's true and you want us to believe that too, then jump off the cliff and let God catch you. Prove to us that God is good. Jesus, wouldn't it be nice to be king? Wouldn't you like to have all the power in the world to change everything for the good? Wouldn't you like to have that power, Jesus, to change the world? Then just bow to me, and I will give you that power. These things were all good, but the problem was they weren't done. God wanted Jesus to do things a certain way. And those weren't the way that God wanted to do. The temptation for us is always to do things that God wants us to do, but to do it on our time and our way, rather than trust God on His timing and on His way. Do you know what the purpose of temptation really is? You know what the purpose of temptation is? It's not to get you to do something you're not supposed to do. It's not the purpose. The purpose of temptation is to get your eyes off the Lord. The devil wants you to get your eyes, get your focus, shift your attention from God onto something else. The devil doesn't need to lead us into sin. He doesn't need to lead us into disobedience. All he has to do is get us to look at something, focus on something, shift our attention from God onto something else. And then we will walk into disobedience and sin all by ourselves. The wilderness is a place of temptation. It's a place of trial. It's a place of testing. It's where we decide, am I going to trust myself more than I trust God? It's a place where we say, even if I can't see what you're doing right now, even if I don't understand what you're doing, even if it doesn't make sense to me, I will trust you. I will obey you, even if. The wilderness is a place of testing. It's a place of trial. It's a place of temptation. But it's also a place where we discover more about ourselves and the God we believe in. Two friends were having a conversation one Saturday morning over coffee, and they were talking about God and the subject of God. And one person admitted that his soul was really, really dry, and there was no life, and nothing was working for him. And he said to his friend, you know, I keep praying to God, where are you? And I don't get any answers. And his friend replied, maybe you're asking the wrong question. Maybe instead of asking God, where are you, maybe you should be asking God, where am I? When people go into temptations and trials and testing, oftentimes their first question is why? Why, God? Why do you have me here? What's going on? Why do I have to go through this? How long do I have to go through this? When will things get back to normal? Why? And those are all normal questions to ask. But maybe we need to ask some deeper questions. Questions like, God, what do you want me to learn in this period of time? How can I draw closer to you? What are the issues you want me to face and deal with in my life? Sometimes God takes us into the wilderness to remove all the noise, remove all the distractions, so that we can finally face the things that God wants us to face that we're not willing to face on our own. Sometimes we're taken into the wilderness so that we can see where we need to improve, what our temptations are. Maybe sometimes we're taken into the wilderness so we can learn how to rely more on the Lord. That's why Jesus was taken into the wilderness. He had to learn what his weaknesses were. He had to learn what would tempt him. He had to learn how to rely on his heavenly Father. And so the wilderness is a place where we experience trials and temptations and testing. And they're also a place where we learn more about ourselves and we learn more about the God we believe in. And we discover who we truly are and we discover more of who God truly is. A friend of mine was dating a girl in college, and everybody thought this couple would get married. They just seemed like a really good couple together, and everybody knew the ring was coming at some point. But after a while, people started to notice that things weren't right between my friend and this girl, and there seemed to be tension. And one night, the two of them went into a dorm room together, and they started talking and realized that this relationship was not going to work out. My friend walked away from that conversation feeling disturbed and discouraged and depressed, and he wondered how God could allow this to happen. And he said that as he was walking away, feeling upset and confused and angry and depressed and disturbed, he felt a whisper in his soul. And the whisper said, "I am letting you go through this so that you can discover how strong you really are, and that I am with you." My friend said that through the next several weeks and months, he felt like he was in the wilderness. He questioned God, he questioned himself. But he said he learned things through that experience about himself and learned things about God that he would have never learned if he had not gone through that. A little boy and his father were walking outside in the fields behind their house one summer afternoon. And as they were walking, the little boy would grab onto his father's finger. But because he was so small and weak, he would often slip and fall. And so Dad really wasn't paying much attention. He would pick the boy up and he would brush him off and they'd start walking again. And again, the little boy would grab onto his father's finger. He'd grab on even tighter. But because he was so little, he kept losing his grip and kept falling. And finally, the little boy said to his father, "Daddy?" And his dad said, "Yes, son." He said, "Daddy, I think if you held my hand, I wouldn't fall so much." The wilderness is a place where we learn to hang on to our Father's hand. And we learn that he holds us. It's a place where the rubber meets the road. A place where we can show ourselves, prove ourselves faithful to God and to what we believe in. And the wilderness is a place where we discover that God proves himself faithful to us. Amen. Amen.